Ngadigai Gimbai, Biripi Barai. That means welcome friends to Biripi country. And it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kids.
Hi, welcome to King's Kids. Today I've invited a friend of mine to come in and to give a talk on same-sex marriage. Since Captain Cook first came here, this country was founded with the first constitution on Christian values, about family values. And today I've asked my friend to come in and talk about her opinion on what's been happening. Now here's Ruth.
Last year, the High Court judges were deliberating on the ACT's same-sex marriage laws. Fortunately, the federal government is claiming that marriage is between man and a woman, and therefore no state or territory laws can be in conflict. While most constitutional experts agree that the ACT laws should be invalid, pressure was building from lobby groups on the judges. The very small minority of homosexuals are making a big thing of this because there are too many people that haven't been speaking out. For the future of this nation and our children's future, we need to pray to defend our constitution as set out by our forefathers. It is time to make a stand, to stand up and show how much we love marriage and expose the lies associated with the move to redefine marriage. After all, marriage is the bedrock institution for our nation. Australians were founded on Christian values, and it is these values that have made Australia great. Alfred Deakin, one of the fathers of Australia's constitution and Australia's second prime minister, offered the following prayer after the constitution was finally ratified. Humbly relying on the blessings of Almighty God, we pray that it may be the means of creating and fostering throughout all Australia a Christ-like citizenship. As Christians and Australian citizens, we must declare that we too put our trust in Almighty God. Henry Parkes, known as the Father of Federation, 1901, had a vision for Australia as one people with a destiny. Our constitution is based upon and interwoven with our Christian beliefs. When the Lord God created the first man, Adam, and the first woman, Eve, he joined them in the sacred union of marriage. Marriage was designed to be the union of one man and one woman to conceive and give birth to children, hence the next generation. Marriage is the oldest institution, starting with the first humans on earth, long before any kings or politicians ever existed. Therefore, marriage was not invented by politicians and governments and should not be decided on just by a handful of politicians. Marriage affects all underlying principles and structure of a civilized society and should not be changed to accommodate immoral lifestyles. This is not an issue of discrimination or judgment on any people group. As individuals, we all sin, but God loves each one of us so much that he made a way so we can be free of sin. He sent his son Jesus Christ to die in our place, so when we believe in him and ask for forgiveness, our sins are forgiven. However, it is quite another thing if a nation blesses that sin, and in this case, by legalizing same-sex marriage. Society should not tamper with this natural family unit which God has established. We are at war over faith, family, and freedom. If the same-sex marriage does become legalized, we could very easily lose our rights of freedom of speech and freedom of our proclaiming our Christian beliefs. As seen in every country that has legalized homosexual marriage, their freedom of speech has been taken away. In a YouTube video presented by Bill Muhlenberg, a marriage and family advocate, it depicts what same-sex marriage has done in countries that have already legalized it, and it is far worse than most people realize. To give you a few examples, in places like the UK, Britain, Georgia, Scotland, Ontario, Denmark, Canada, to name a few, as a result of the same-sex laws, people over the past few years have been heavily fined, going to jail, sacked from jobs, ministers, pastors forced by government to perform same-sex marriages, even people on Facebook giving personal comments about marriage between man and a woman have been fined. If we follow the trends of those other nations, once same-sex marriage is legalized, we will have an obligation by law to agree that homosexuality is right, normal, and acceptable. Anything contrary could be deemed a hate crime. Unfortunately, many people think that same-sex marriage is a benign eccentricity which won't affect the average person. Perhaps we should consider what it has done to Massachusetts since 2003. Brian Kamenker from Mass Resistance in Massachusetts, USA, who saw his state legalize homosexual marriage in 2003, has put together a video which explains the consequences of homosexual marriage called What Gay Marriage Did to Massachusetts. For example, the homosexual marriage onslaught in public schools across the state started soon after the November 2003 court ruling, where high schools and middle school assemblies celebrate it now as a normal part of society. By September 2004, the marriage ruling had opened up the door for teaching homosexuality. By the following year, it was in elementary school curricula, with hostility towards parents who disagreed. In fact, one parent of a kindergarten child, name withheld, protested that his child was given homosexual material, so the school had him arrested and jailed overnight. In 2007, a federal judge ruled that because of gay marriage in Massachusetts, parents have no rights regarding the teaching of homosexual relationships in schools. Think about that. Because same-sex marriage is legal, federal judges have ruled that their schools now have a duty to portray homosexual relationships as normal to children, despite what parents think or believe. Once homosexuality is normalized, all boundaries begin to come down. The slippery slope is real. New radical demands never cease. What has happened in the last several years is truly frightening. Now, onto a more positive note. As Christians, we know that our Lord is in the highest court, and we can freely come before Him with our prayers and requests. So I urge you to pray that the High Court judges will maintain the values that have made this nation great, including the protection and valuing of life, the supporting and defending of marriage between a man and a woman as the foundation upon which a healthy society is built, the securing, protection and defending of religious freedom, and the safeguarding of our children. These values are being undermined on many fronts by many opponents who do not have the best interests of our nation or our children at heart. Thomas Jefferson said, "The price of freedom is eternal vigilance." It would seem that Thomas Jefferson is right, because the battle to protect our children's rights from the encroachment of homosexual marriage never lets up. Now the battle has moved from ACT to New South Wales Parliament and now into the High Court. Australian Christians need to make a stand for the truth through our voice and in our prayers. As S.D. Gordon said, the greatest thing anyone can do for God or man is pray. Pastor Andrew Green from the Christian Democratic Party has urged Christians to pray that the Lord will show mercy and grace over our whole nation, and to pray that the judges and leaders of this country will be given the wisdom of Solomon to uphold marriage. And last year, Pastor Andrew Green called for 2 days of earnest prayer that Almighty God may inspire the High Court of Australia to retain marriage between man and a woman and dismiss the same-sex marriage laws of the Australian Capital Territory. I urge you then to please pray daily and ask God to give them wisdom and bless them and their families according to 1 Timothy 1 verse 1 to 2, praying for those in authority that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. I will leave you with the words of Alfred Tennyson, who said, "More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. Together, we can make a difference.
He is now to be among you at the calling of your heart. Rest assured, this troubadour is acting on his part. The union of your spirit here has caused him to remain. For whenever two or more of you are gathered in his name, there is love. Will a man shall leave his mother and a woman leave her home? They shall travel on to where the two shall be as one. As it was in the beginning, is now until the end. Woman draws her life from man and gives it back again. And there is love. There is love. Well, then, what's to be the reason for becoming man and wife? Is it love that brings you here, or love that brings you life? Or if loving is the answer, then who's the giving for? Do you believe in something that you've never seen before?
Noel Paul Stuckey with the wedding song. Today, Tony's friend Ruth Ridley shared her thoughts on the gay marriage question. Aboriginal preacher Brian Booker also has some thoughts on the subject.
The government of God comes through Jesus Christ, which is upon Jesus' shoulders. As God is the judge and the lawgiver, not men. The reason God made law is because he knew men would break the law. There are two laws, the law of the spirit of sin and death and the law of the spirit of life. See, friend, the law of the spirit of life sets us free from the law of the spirit of sin and death. Law came through Moses, but grace, mercy and truth comes through Jesus Christ. The word of God says that a man would leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and the two become one flesh. You have a mother and a father. It is an insult to both God, our Creator, and to us as human beings to think gay marriage is right. There is a way that seems right to men, but the end thereof leads to death. Insult upon insult to think men came from apes. Dogs make dogs, cats make cats. Men don't make men, women don't make women. Men and women make babies. We need to look at the Creator, not creation, that thinks he is above God and has law. Man can die without having God, Jesus and the Holy Spirit in his life, because that's his choice and will. Good is good, evil is evil. It is not good to say good is evil and evil is good. Why don't we just legalise lawlessness and say the good of people is now illegal?
Christian men and Christian women need to seriously think about compromise. Because if we start compromising in our walk with God and compromising with the things of the Bible, where does it finish? Where does it stop? You know, years ago I got involved in politics back in 1996. What really surprised me about that was there was two parts of politics and it was all about numbers, who had the numbers. And you know, for many, many years in Australian politics, that the left side of politics, which is a side that I didn't care very much for, because it's made up of men and women that don't have Christian values, don't even have family values. And yet the right side of politics was all about families, all about God's values. But for such a long time, I believe it was about 40 years, that they never had control. And it took a long time, whether it was done by prayer or whether it was done by a handful of hard workers that rallied around and got numbers to take control. And I just happened to come into this era where the right wing of politics took control. And it doesn't matter what party it is, whether it's Liberal or Labor, or even at local level at the state parliament, federal parliament, or whether it's local government, these factions take control. And I remember being a pre-selector, and we went to this pre-selector to see who was going to go into the Senate. And a young man who was a hard worker for such a long time, and for the very first time, the right side of politics had the numbers to put the right people in the parliament. And you know what really surprised me? The Prime Minister at the time, he compromised to keep the left side of parliament happy. He sacrificed this young man who had family values, Christian values. He sacrificed him. And then they put an homosexual person back into the Senate just because they wanted to compromise and keep the peace. And you know what? We start doing that with everything, you know, giving into the minority, then we're going to lose out big time in Australia. I mean, the world is headed down the toilet because the Bible says so. The Bible says in these last days, men will become lovers of themselves. And you just got to look at the world to see where we're going, and that's where we're headed. It reminds me of Sodom and Gomorrah. Back in their day, homosexuality ran amok. Men became lovers of themselves, and women became lovers of themselves, and they started doing these things that was against what God talked about. In fact, it upset God so much that he came down and he had a look for himself. And as he was talking to Abraham, he said to Abraham, he said, I've come down here to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because their sin, their stench has reached to heaven. Abraham pleaded with God not to destroy the city. He started off at 50 and finished up at 10. But you know what? I believe that Abraham would have been bold enough to go back to God and say, if there's only three people there, three righteous men, would you destroy the city? And I believe in my heart that God would never destroy Sodom and Gomorrah if Abraham would have asked for if there was two or three righteous men there. And we know there was at least three righteous people because the Bible tells us that. It was Lot and his two daughters. And his wife turned back. And she was turned into a pillar of salt. Why did she turn back? Because you know why she turned back? Because her heart was back there with the people that she was running away from, that she was leaving, because God took them out of the city. The problem with the world today is Christians don't know what camp they're in. They don't know whose side they're on. They think about what they're leaving behind, not what they're looking forward to, what God has got for them, where God has got promises for them. God has got promises in their life. You know, the moment that you compromise on one thing, you'll compromise on something else. And you know, the more you compromise, the easier it becomes. You might compromise the very first time on something very small, and then it becomes easier and easier with each compromise. While ever Christian men and women compromise and stood up praying, they need to get on their knees and pray and petition God and stand with God and pray for a better nation. We need to stand as Christian men and Christian women, and we need to pray for the nation. We need to pray for those in government. We need to get rid of the left and the right. I mean, this is our country. It should be governed by, you know, the people that the people put in there, not the people in dark, dungy rooms that make decisions who they're going to put in the parliament because it suits their agenda. They're not putting the people first. And we can only change that by turning up at the polling booths and voting. Or the other thing we can do as Christians, we can get on our knees and we can pray. We can beseech God and petition God to move sovereignly to do something. And if we do that, then God will act. God is looking for men and women that will get on their knees and trust Him, will pray and search God out, and do these things. Because if we don't, we're going to lose more and more and more and more ground. At the moment, they're talking about whether they should allow children to be smacked. And what does the Bible say about that? The Bible says, spare the rod and ruin the child. You know, I've raised 7 children that I own up to. And the fact is, all them kids got a smack. Even my grandchildren have got a smack. One of my daughters says, oh, I can't control her when we go out. She just runs amok. When Poppy speaks, she listens. See, because Poppy smacked her once or twice, and she knows that, yeah, you don't have to flog them with a tree and half kill them. You just got to speak softly, sternly, and mean what you say. You know what the problem is? A lot of people today don't say what they mean. They say what they think people need to hear. It's compromise. I said to my daughter the other day, how can your daughter respect you when you lie to her? And the response I got was, Dad, I don't lie to my children. I said, well, every time you tell her that you're going to smack her if she doesn't stop what she's doing, then you're lying to her if you don't smack her. That's a lie. There's no other way to look at it. You're lying to your children. And the trouble is, we lie to people all the time because we want to say what they think they want to hear rather than what is good for them. You know, you read the Bible time and time again. God has put it there for us in black and white, for us to read it, to understand it. And you know, a lot of people say they don't understand the Bible. You know what? They don't want to understand it. I've been dealing with some people recently. It's like flogging a dead horse. I talk till I'm black in the face. And for years that don't know me, I am black in the face. You're just flogging a dead horse because people, they only see what they want to see. They got blinkers on and it justifies their existence. It justifies what they're doing. And, you know, it's a lot easier to justify it than to do the right thing. And, you know, I'm sorry. If this offends anybody, well, then too bad. Because, you know, we start off with little compromises. Children will play up at the supermarket. You go to the supermarket or you get on a plane and the child's crying and screaming and carrying on, playing up like a second-hand lawnmower. And their mum and or their, you know, their dad are too frustrated because they can't control them out in public. You see, if they controlled them at home, they would have no trouble controlling them in public. And the thing is, not to give in. I remember once that I was going to buy our 2 oldest children an ice cream. And one of them said to me, you know, if you don't buy us an ice cream, we're going to tell our mum not to love you. And I pulled out a ruler that I just bought for their school stuff and I smacked them both across the legs. And you know what? And I said to them, you know, you were going to get an ice cream anyway, but because you did that, you're not going to get one. And in fact, I bought an ice cream and ate it in front of them. When I smacked them and when I ate the ice cream in front of them, they knew that my word was going to be my word. And I tell people, my word is my bond. And if you want to live life like that, be a man of honour. Be honourable in the things you say. Don't say things to your kids and don't mean it. If you're going to say you're going to smack them, then we'll smack them. If you're not going to smack them, just let them keep going, do what they're doing.
life a prayer to you. I wanna do what you want me to. No empty words and no white lies. No token prayers, no compromise. I wanna shine the light you gave through your Son. You sent to save us from ourselves and our despair. It comforts me to know you're really there. Oh, I want to thank you now for being patient with me. Oh, it's so hard to see when my eyes are on me. I guess I have to trust and just believe what you. To take me away. I wanna die and let you give your life to me so I might live and share the hope you gave to me, the love that set me free. Son, you've risen from the dead. Oh, I want to thank you now for being patient with me. Oh, it's so hard to see when my eyes are on me. I guess I
That was gospel great Keith Green with No Compromise. Thanks for listening to King's Kids today. Tony's guests were Ruth Ridley and Brian Booker. I'm Heidi, and Tony and I are back next week with more words of wisdom from Tony's years of experience as an evangelist. You can find us on Facebook at King's Kids Ministries. If you have any questions, you can ring Tony on 0427 839 474. That's 0427 839 474. We look forward to seeing you again next week. King's Kids is produced in the studios of Rema FM, Port Macquarie.